Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Oregon Live's Andrew Nemec. Brought to you by Power Rents, your local family-owned independent equipment rental company in Portland, Salem, and Vancouver. Online at powerrents.com.
Cooey!
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Didn't have a show last week. Had to miss. My wife went to a work meeting, and the work meeting was like, well, these four people are laid off. And so she had to work that night then because a bunch of people got laid off. It was brutal. She's working like a mad woman. And now, not to give too much away, but somebody at her store potentially has a spouse with COVID. And
fun.
So she might be out. So my wife's working like out of control hours. I feel so bad for her. But I was able to make it this week, so yay!
Until it turns out she is a close contact.
No, she's not going to be a close contact. Knock on wood. Come on, man. Gosh, there big news in the world of basketball recruiting, and it really does highlight the NIL rules and how much they've impacted name, image, and likeness, how much it's impacted college basketball. It came out, according to 24/7 Sports, Travis Bradham, Kal-El Ware, the Oregon Duck commit, the five-star center, the number 14 prospect in the nation, the number three center, was offered a two-year $900,000 deal to play for Overtime Elite. And Overtime, people have followed Overtime on Twitter. It's like, it started out as like they did a lot of highlights with recruits and stuff, a lot of highlight type videos. Then they had a website and did sports and did a little recruiting, but not like a major go. You know, it's not 24/7 Sports, it's not Rivals, it's a very different thing. It's more hoop highlight type stuff. They started their own kind of league, or at least their own team. And they're paying athletes, you know, upwards of, like, obviously, $1 million to potentially play. And they've signed 16, 17-year-olds to play on this Overtime Elite team. They offered Kal-El Ware 2 years, $900,000. And reportedly, he turned it down to be a Duck. Now, if you go back to Dior Johnson, he committed. At the time, he was the number three recruit in the nation. I think he's gone down to about number 12. Still in the discussion as the number one point guard in the entire country. He had a $1.2 million offer from the Australian New Zealand National Basketball League. Between Oregon's two five-star recruits in the 2022 recruiting class, they've been offered $2.1 million. $2.1 million to skip college and instead play professional basketball from the jump. And both of them said no. Because through name, image, and likeness, and I mentioned this before this happened, what this is potentially going to do, it's not going to be that Kal-El Ware is for sure going to make $900,000 playing at Oregon. But he might make $300,000 or $400,000 in deals, and that's enough to offset the gap of, you know, Kal-El Ware, if it's a two-year deal, that means he has no senior year of high school. He joins the professional ranks right away. He doesn't have the normal college experience. Overtime Elite is a new idea. I don't exactly know who they're going to play. They're not going to have a set schedule where this team plays this team and so on and so forth. As far as I can tell, it's somewhat experimental. And I think just the risk of that is not really worth it. Is it worth an extra few hundred thousand dollars as opposed to just going to college, learning from Dana Altman? And we've seen that this Oregon basketball program and frankly, this Oregon athletic department has enough of a brand that they can make a lot of money for their athletes. Look no further than Kayvon Thibodeau. And that's attracting basketball recruits. And we're seeing that across the board. Elite basketball recruits right now are being offered a ton of money. Reportedly, Amani Bates was offered a seven-figure deal. And we're talking like not, you know, $8 million, but close to $2 million to potentially play in a professional league. And instead, he committed to Memphis in the end over Oregon. And I think people thought for a while, well, this is the end of college basketball and all these guys are going to go to the pro leagues and it's over because they can get $1 million. The NLI has leveled the playing field, particularly in college basketball. In football, there is no alternative. If you're the number one recruit in the nation, there is no alternative to going to college. We're seeing those guys graduate a year early. Quinn Ewers, the number one recruit in the class of 2022, reclassified to 2021, and he's at Ohio State. He just went a year early. He's going to be the fourth string quarterback, and he has like a $1.4 million NIL deal locked into place already. So he doesn't have a senior year. He just started college earlier. That's what's happening in football, because in football, you can't go to the NFL until 3 years from when you graduated. There is no, I'm going to be a one and done in football. But the NIL has dramatically altered the landscape in basketball. Because it looked like for a little while the pro leagues might overtake and we might see guys suddenly not going to college, the Zion Williamsons, the RJ Barretts, potentially taking big deals to play in the G League, potentially taking a big deal to be a part of Overtime Elite. And we are seeing some of that. The number 8 recruit in the nation in 2023 chose to go that path. But these elite kids are starting to turn down that money because they think they can offset it in college. It's really interesting. It kind of floored me to see the money actually, how it all stacked up, Lynch, where Dior Johnson turned down $1.2 million. Kel'el Ware, who's, you know, he's a five-star prospect, but he's not a Zion. You know, he's the number 14 player in the class. He was offered $900,000.
Sorry, that was a really bad pick there on the TV. It's strange, but I get it. I think most of these kids want to go to college. There's something to it that they want to experience the college experience, or they grew up watching college ball and want to play for X team or play in the X conference or whatever. And getting paid that money to go play in New Zealand is nice money wise, but that's uprooting their entire life and going across the globe and going to a new country. So I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it makes sense that they would pick college over that money now that they can actually make money with the NIL,
especially
deals.
Since the gap is no longer, it's 1.2 million or like zero and you can't even take a free meal,
right?
And now it's like, well, we could probably figure out a way to get you $500,000.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, I'll take the $500,000 and being around people who speak English, everyone, and being around kids my own age and being a part of a program that is going to continue after I'm gone, and I am going to have guys my own age around me as teammates. I'm not going to join a professional league where I'm suddenly playing against 29-year-olds. It does change things, and it has changed things dramatically, and it is interesting to see two commitments for Oregon, and together collectively, we know the numbers. $2.1 million turned down. It's wild.
I suppose we don't know the numbers because we don't know what they're going to make in NIL deals. Maybe they think that over the course of, you know, I guess in basketball, 1 year.
Well, we don't know what the gap will be, but we do know those offers were offered. We know there was a $1 million deal.
Right, right. I'm saying
$1.2 million deal with the NBL.
We don't know that. Maybe they'll make that or more in the NIL, you know, right? Like you could make more than that, right?
Yeah, and Adam Finkelstein of ESPN mentioned that before Amani Bates has made his choice, that he was potentially going to make up like close to $2 million if he had played in the G League, if he had just taken a G League deal. And Adam Finkelstein didn't get into numbers, but he said of his finalists, there's a strong belief in the Bates circle that he might still make more money in college, which tells you there's potentially NIL deals at Memphis worth $2, $3 million.
I mean, the way I look at it is if you're in college, well, sorry, I'll reverse it. If you're in the G League, you're going to become a nobody because people don't watch the G League. Like, people don't care about the G League teams. You'll make that $2 million and you'll become a draft prospect.
A ghost.
But you'll be a ghost. When you're in Eugene, for example, you might have Pizzeria A and car dealership B and Nike. I mean, whoever.
Nike is C through Z.
Yeah. Like, you might have all of these people coming out and paying you money. And over the course of, you know, in football, the 3 years, or in basketball, the 1+ years that you're there, you could make that and be known and have all the benefits that come with that instead of just being another guy trying to make the NBA in the G League.
Yeah, you're right. Football season has started in the high school ranks. It's another thing that I wanted to discuss right in the opener. We went a little long with the NIL, but man, to talk, I'm saying his name wrong. I've said it before. I always say it wrong. I've asked Greg Biggins. He knows the family. He's asked him directly. He can't say it either. It's something like Tatario McMillan, T-Mac. He's one of the top receivers in the entire country. He's a borderline five-star prospect. He's committed to Oregon. That dude is an absolute monster for Servite. That is as good a receiver in terms of his body control, in terms of his ability to go high point of football and the strength of his hands of any high school receiver I think I've ever seen. He is unbelievable. I've thought this about a handful of players. Kayvon Thibodeau to me was unbelievable, but he was the number one recruit in the nation. Penei Sewell, I showed Souk highlights of Penei Sewell. I was like, check this out, dude. This guy's off the charts. And he watched him. He's like, holy crap, that's a first round NFL draft pick. And sure enough, fast forward, and he was. I love Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was not rated. I thought he'd play in the NFL. There aren't a ton of guys who I just go, oh my God, this is something different. T-Mac is something different. T-Mac is the best receiver, high school receiver, that Oregon's ever gotten, in my opinion. I know Troy Franklin is phenomenally good. He's going to start from day one. And if you ask Brandon Huffman, who's very high on Troy Franklin, he talked about Troy Franklin having not the same type of career, but the same type of skill set as Devontae Smith. That's how good he thought Troy Franklin potentially could be skill set wise. Smith won the Heisman. So that gives you an idea how good Troy Franklin is. I think T-Mac might be better. I think his floor is N'Keal Harry. And N'Keal Harry, when he was at Arizona State, was one of the best receivers in the country. First round NFL draft pick. I think that's his floor. I'm blown away. The other player that completely, to me, is off the charts right now, looks off the charts, is Jaleel Florence. He's the number 33 corner in the nation on 24/7 Sports. Greg Biggins has already written an article. He was the alpha dog in a game between Lincoln and Los Alamitos. Jaleel Florence guarded a five-star receiver, covered a five-star receiver for the entire game, gave up zero receptions. At one point, I don't know if it was the five-star, but one of the receivers caught a ball in the end zone. Florence, and this is such advanced technique, the guy catches the ball. He's got it in his hands. He's going down to the ground. Florence punches through his hands and knocks the ball out. The wherewithal, the awareness, and the physicality to not panic in that moment and to rip through a receiver's hands is an advanced thing that a lot of NFL corners can't do. Now, it gets harder the bigger the receivers are, but there are a lot of NFL receiver or corners who cannot do that. He's only been playing football for a few years. Greg Biggins wrote about it. I've talked about it. Jaleel Florence is not the number 33 corner in the nation. He is much better than that. And I said that when he committed. This could be a kid who's a top 10 to 15 corner in the country. Folks, I think it's unquestionable that he's going to make a hard push to be one of the top 10 corners in the country. He looks unbelievable. And he joins me next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
He's committed to Oregon, a four-star cornerback whose stock is skyrocketing. Held a five-star receiver to 0 catches just last week. He is Jahlil Florence from Lincoln High School in San Diego, California, and he joins me now. Jahlil, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me today.
Thank you for joining the show. So first of all, this pigskin show that you guys are all committing on, what? It's gone viral now. Yours, what happened first, about a month before. How did you guys set that up, and what's the following like with that show? Because it seems like there's a huge following in the San Diego area for that. For it's like the Pigskin Prep Report.
Yeah, the Pigskin Prep Report is really what every Friday night after our games. That's what the news station that replays our games and replays the highlights and stuff like that. So they really are just like super involved with the San Diego football. So that's what all of us go doing on just a show left for San Diego. We could go do it on CBS or something like that, but we do it in our backyard.
That's cool.
Airport.
It's cool you do it locally. It seems like the San Diego community is a family. There's you, there's Jahlil Tucker, there's Grayson Halton that are current Ducks, obviously Byron Cardwell from last year, Achilles Smith's in the San Diego area. What's the story with San Diego athletes? Because it does seem like, and I don't know if it's there's just most of the athletes come from a certain part of San Diego, but it does seem like it's a really tight-knit community of top-tier athletes.
That's really what it is. All the top tier athletes basically come from the same place. We all grew up playing youth football together. Everybody play youth football together, so we are just super close and stuff like that. We end up staying with each other all the way throughout high school.
September 1st is a big day for class of 2023 kids because it was the first day that they could get contacted. A number of highly rated kids didn't, you know, or heard from schools at midnight. You mentioned on social media that at midnight last year, you didn't hear from anybody. In fact, you didn't hear from any colleges for quite some time. Why do you think that was, and what was it about your recruitment that really changed and made it pick up?
It really was myself. I really wasn't putting myself on the radar like that, and I was playing JV at the time also. So that and really just coaches didn't know about me. I was really under the radar. I was playing, but I wasn't really like showcasing myself like that, how I am now. And now I'm all over the place and stuff like that. But I really just was waiting my turn. My coach always said, your time is going to come. It's not going to be the same time as everybody else. So I was waiting my turn.
For a long time, you were kind of an unknown. It has picked up in the last few months. Obviously, 24/7 Sports has you as a four-star prospect, the number 33 corner in the country. You committed to Oregon here recently. But last week was a real statement for you because you went up against a five-star receiver from the class of 2023. I know it was a very close game, and in the end, they ended up winning that game, but not because you didn't do a great job. In fact, I think you held them to 0 catches. What did that game mean to you personally in terms of, I know you want to win, but in terms of your ability to showcase yourself and prove you're one of the elite guys, did you go into that game feeling like you were taking it really personal? Has that been circled on your calendar for months? Walk me through kind of the mentality going into a game like that when you know if he has a 200-yard game, people are going to be questioning how good you are. If you shut him down, suddenly people are talking about you as being a guy who should maybe have 5 stars next to your name.
Right, yeah, definitely. We've been planning for that game since before the season even started. Me and my coach were talking about which one I was going to guard and stuff like that, and I chose him because everybody said he was a better receiver, so I just really wanted the best receiver that night because I know it was a big showcase game. And I was to showcase myself and show that I can guard the top of the top and show I'm one of the best of the best and stuff like that. So really going to that line, I felt like it was personal. I felt like he shouldn't have no catches on me. If I do my job, they couldn't say anything about him. It'll all be about me that night. So that's really what I did.
Now, there's a play in the end zone where it looks like, and I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the five-star receiver. I know you know what play I'm talking about. Is it him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's him for sure.
So he looks like he catches a ball. He reaches out for a ball, catches it. And instead of, and you're like a half a step behind him, but you're in really good position. Rather than kind of give up on the play, you punch through his hands and kind of dive for the ball and knock the ball out. Finding the football in that situation, not panicking, is advanced technique that sometimes even very good college corners don't know how to do. Where have you developed that? And how do you teach yourself in those moments not to panic, to finish through a play like that as a corner, not give up on the play, and potentially really turn a game in just a split second like that?
Really, that's really what we do in our everyday drills, every day I practice. Before we even do anything, we do our everyday drills with the DBs. We do this drill called the over-the-shoulder, your beat. It's a technique where you're beat, and you just play through the hands. So that's really what it was. I just didn't panic. I've seen his hands go out. I didn't look back at the quarterback, and I just punched through the hands. And the ball was right there. So I really, that's really what I did.
We're talking to Jahlil Florence, a four-star corner. Greg Biggins has already said he's going to skyrocket up the rankings when he committed. He's the number 33 corner. When he committed, I told you on this show, he's a top 10 or 15 corner in the country with a chance to be even better. He's a prototypical size, 6'2", just long, fluid, really good athlete. Joining the show now, what was it about Oregon that made them the choice? Was there a moment? Was it a relationship building? Was it the facilities? What was it about Oregon that you felt like that had to be your future home?
Man, it was just the moment I got there, I just felt like a priority to the team. I felt like I was wanted. That was the biggest thing. I felt like I was wanted. I felt like family and stuff like that. And that's really a big thing. I really felt like family. I felt comfortable. I felt like I just got the home environment. I was already just walking around like I've been there for a year or something like that. So I just felt the home environment. I felt the family vibes. So me and my dad, we already knew right then and there that's where I wanted to go. That's where I needed to be type stuff. So
Oregon in the last few years, they've always done a good job in San Diego, but in the last few years, it really seems like it started with Willie Taggart. Obviously, it's really continued with Mario Cristobal. It seems like Oregon's made a real push in California and might be kind of the go-to school for California prospects right now. Was there a turning point in California where you were like, whoa, that guy's not going to go to USC or UCLA or Stanford or Cal. That guy's going to Oregon. Man, they must have something up there. Was it Kayvon Thibodeau or has it just kind of slowly over time, the more guys go, the more it interests you in, you know, Thomas Graham, Javon Holland, all those guys going, it makes you wonder what they got cooking in Eugene.
Yeah, really stuff like that. They had kids coming from the south part of our country. I mean, of America. They got kids coming from St. Louis, Texas, kids like that that usually go to those schools over there, and they got them coming to the West Coast. So I mean, they're doing something good over there. So, you know, I really want to be a part of that. They put in DBs in the league, Coach Chance. I mean, he'll have a really good bond. So
How big is that in your recruitment? I mean, they just had a wave of athletes going pro. Thomas Graham Jr., Javon Holland, Brady Breeze, D'Amador Lenore, Nick Pickett was picked up initially. He was an undrafted free agent. He was picked up initially in the NFL. Mekhale Wright looks like he's going to be a first round NFL draft pick. If not, he'll be a second rounder. When you see development like that, does that help in your recruitment in terms of making a decision, this program can develop me? Or are those totally different players and that's a totally different era and it doesn't mean anything to you in terms of why you choose a school?
Well, definitely, I have something to do with the school for sure. If you're at a program where you're telling me I'll get you prepared for next level, but you're not getting guys prepared that's there right now for next level, then they're really not backing what you're saying. But when you see the stats and the numbers, then it really, that's just, you don't got to say much else. Just look at the stats and look at the numbers and look at the people in the NFL. So that really is just big, that plays a big role in it for sure.
What's Coach Chance like? If you had to describe Coach Chance to the audience,
he's really like a big brother. If I need him for right now, like I'm in high school and I'm not with him. If I need him, if I cut some tape up, send it to him, asking for some tips and stuff like that, he'll always give it to me. If I got to talk about some stuff with my family, he hits my mom up and dad up, like we're family and stuff like that. So he's really a coach on and off the field, and it makes it bigger than football for sure.
We're talking to Oregon Ducks four-star cornerback commit Jahlil Florence. Stock is absolutely skyrocketing. When are you visiting Oregon? And when do you actually plan to enroll? Are you going to be an early enrollee, January, December-ish guy, or are you going to wait until spring? What's your plan?
My plan right now is I'll visit the Cal game. That's the game I'll be there. Me and Jaleel will be there, I think.
Okay.
And depending on how the season goes, that really will determine it, how my high school season goes. I'm really just worried about that right now, trying to win that. But I'm pretty sure I'm gonna try to get up there earlier.
Jaleel Tucker right now, he's your high school teammate at Lincoln High School. His commitment went viral because his dad kind of accidentally maybe just sort of told everybody where he was going. He's the number four athlete in the country. How excited, you're both going to play DB at Oregon. How excited are you guys about being able to take it together to the next level and potentially be the next wave of elite defensive backs that then go on to the NFL from Eugene?
Man, we're both excited. I think that's both of our dream schools. We didn't know we were going to end up going to the same school. We both just happened to have the same dream school, mess with the same coach and stuff like that. And it ended up happening, but we're both stoked. We both can't wait. We're both just enjoying our high school time together before we really got to go handle business up in college.
Who's your NFL team? Who's your favorite NFL team?
It's the 49ers. My favorite player is Jalen Ramsey.
There we go. That's what I was hoping to hear. I didn't know if you'd go Chargers on me. I'm a huge 49er fan. What do you think of Trey Lance? How many MVPs? How many Super Bowls? Let's be honest. 17? 20?
I'm liking him right now. Hopefully he can get us to the first one. First one this. Hope we got to take it one by one.
Yeah, I agree.
There.
Were you?
He can get us to a positive record this year. Get us to the playoffs. We can start from there.
Okay, be honest. They had the number 3 pick. Who did you want them to take? Because for me, I was either Trey Lance or Justin Fields, and I wanted no part of Mac Jones. And I talked about it on the show.
I thought we were going to get Justin Fields.
Okay.
I thought we were going to get him.
Now
we went to the Bears.
Now, you know, for the next few weeks, as a future Duck, you're not allowed to say anything positive about Ohio State or any former Ohio State player. So you can't Justin Fields for at least the next 2 weeks.
Definitely. I know that. Sure.
Okay. All right. Can we get a Sco Ducks from you, and then we'll let you out, man?
Yeah, most definitely. Go Ducks.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Sure.
Jaleel Florence. I thought there was a chance. I thought I had read that he was a Niner fan. So we had to get a little Trey Lance love on the show from Jaleel Florence. We cannot go a segment.
He didn't really give you Trey Lance love. He gave you Justin Fields love, though.
Hey.
He said, let's just get a winning record here. Okay?
I really do like his, and I was completely kidding about obviously 17 Super Bowls, but
yeah, you mean 30.
Yeah. But it was funny that he's like, let's take it one at a time. That's how Niner fans are right now about the Trey Lance situation. It's like, okay, let's just have him be healthy. We'll take it one game at a time, one season at a time. Jaleel Florence is phenomenal. And when you look at this recruiting class, I don't necessarily think there are a ton of guys. I think it's a very good group. But Oregon's recruited a number of good classes in a row. So I don't necessarily think there's a guy to me that's a make or break. If Oregon didn't have this guy, it would be devastating. When Oregon got Penei Sewell, it was maybe going to start a trend of O-linemen. When they got Kayvon Thibodeau, it was going to help unlock California. When they got Thomas Graham Jr. and Jalen Redd, it helped them to get Javon Holland. It helped them work the California ties. I don't know that there's a go-to must-have guy in this class, but between T-Mac and Jaleel Florence, those are two guys that I think Oregon absolutely struck gold with that are going to be the future. I would be surprised if Florence isn't an all-conference performer at corner at some point in his career. I'd be surprised. And I would be surprised if he doesn't end up in the NFL. He's that good. His technique is phenomenal. I'm so excited to see him in green and yellow and sometimes pink and black and all the different colors Oregon wears. Jaleel Florence is going to be special, and Jaleel Tucker is actually the higher rated player, his high school teammate. They're both phenomenal. There are so many good athletes in this class, but Florence, to me, is the one that kind of people don't quite, when you look at the top ranked guys, he's not one of the first two or three names on the list, and yet, for me, he's just absolutely highlighted, underlined. Jaleel Florence is going to be a monster. And I said that when he committed, when he was the number 33 corner in the country. Watch, he's going to fly up the rankings and be a big time player in Eugene. Speaking of Eugene, it's game week. In fact, we're like less than 48 hours away from the start of the Oregon Ducks season. We're less than 48 hours away from the start of the Beaver season. I'll tell you what I think. Predictions for the Ducks and Beavers. And also, in doing that, I'll also give you a little bit of an idea what I think the Ducks and Beavers have going forward on the recruiting trail for the class of 2022. That's next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
All right, 48 hours away, a little less, from the start of the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers football seasons. I know you've all been waiting. What does Nimmick think the record's going to be? Okay, maybe not. But still, I'm going to give it to you anyway. You know what? I think this Oregon team is good. Very good. We can break it down. I think Anthony Brown is a solid B to B plus quarterback. I like him. I think he's going to do a nice job. I think there's going to be times where you miss, you know, the era of Marcus Mariota, Justin Herbert, even Vernon Adams. I think there's going to be times you go, man, I wish we could move the ball a little more consistently. He's going to have his ups and downs. I think he's going to do some dynamic things. I also think there's going to be times where they have a string of three and outs and they can't quite figure some things out over the course of the season. I think the offense is going to ebb and flow. I don't think it's going to be dominant, but I think it's going to be solid. He's 24 years old. He'll handle being at Ohio State. That doesn't mean necessarily I think they're going to win the game or win the game with ease. By the way, Ohio State just had a scoop and score fumble, and it's now 31-21. Ohio State leads Minnesota. If you weren't paying attention to that game, Minnesota was ahead 21-17 there, I think, at halftime. So Ohio State's starting to put the game away, or at least starting to create a little bit of a gap. I think Anthony Brown's good, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be one of those like all conference level quarterbacks. So you need the rest of the offense to be dynamic. Luckily for Oregon, I think they largely are. If CJ Verdell's healthy, he might be the best running back in the Pac-12. The problem, he's almost never healthy. If he's healthy, great. And Oregon's got a great running game. If he's not, Travis Dye is functional. He's experienced. He's a better receiving running back than he is a true runner ball carrier. I like the depth at the position. I think Byron Cardwell and Seven McGee are going to be very good in time. But to me, that's another group. That's another group that I think Oregon fan is used to having. The LaMichael James, the LeGarrette Blount, the Royce Freeman, all Pac-12 performer. And if CJ Verdell's not healthy, they don't have that. They have average running back play in the conference if Verdell's banged up. And you can say, well, he's not right now. Right, but he almost always is. So for him to have a whole season of being healthy, I just don't think that's likely. That being said, if he is, Oregon's going to have a really good run game. The O-line is not as good as people think. I think Oregon, people just assume, Oregon O-line, A+. This is actually one of those years where there's a little bit of a gap. The younger players are probably better, but they're not quite ready. I think Jackson Powers Light, the center, I think he's going to be phenomenal. I think he's got a chance to be an All-American down the road. He's a true freshman right now. Kingsley Suamataia is probably the most decorated recruit on campus along the offensive line. True freshman. And it's really, really hard. Even Penei Sewell, well, Penei Sewell actually did it very well. Outside of Penei Sewell, it is really, really hard to be a true freshman tackle, left tackle, right tackle in the Pac-12 and have success. And I think that group's a year away from being very, very good. Now, they return a lot of talent from last year's team. Penei Sewell sat out, so a lot of their talent's coming back. but it is not the A-plus group. There's not a ton of draft prospects where you go first rounder, second rounder, third rounder, all along the O-line. It's not that group. But they're solid. They're a B-plus or A-minus. They're just not the A-plus I think people think. Then the real question is receiver, because they've got so many good weapons, and it's a good question. Who is going to step up? Troy Franklin, the true freshman, is one of the best receivers they've ever had in program history. He's earned the starting job. Devin Williams is a very talented, very long, mismatched, dynamic playmaker on the outside. Micah Pittman's an incredible slot who's been kind of underutilized in Eugene. I like him. He's almost seems, and it's funny because he quite famously had a couple of drops in the spring game, but he's known for being a great third down receiver.
I was surprised to see him as an or with Jalen Redd.
I was as well. And I think a lot of that has to do with depending on what they want to do, because Jalen Redd can, you could, especially with Moorhead's offense, they can put him in motion, so they can put him in the backfield and then suddenly put him in the slot and stretch you out. So he's a versatile piece. If Micah Pittman's just a slot, he's just a receiver, but Jalen Redd can kind of take that end around and run the ball and spread you out horizontally, as well as vertically, whereas Pittman's more of a possession receiver. So I think depending on the look they give you, those two guys fit for certain schemes. But I think Pittman is the better true receiver. Redd is the more dynamic Swiss Army knife weapon you put in there. And to be completely honest, the guy that I thought you'd be more excited about, or that fans would be more excited about, is Chris Hudson. I think Chris Hudson's a year away from being really good. And that's the thing about this team. Troy Franklin, phenomenal receiver, true freshman. Devin Williams still has more time. Chris Hudson, I think, is going to be a superstar. He's a true freshman. So I have a little bit of a question along the offense. I think this offense is going to be good. I think they're going to do some incredibly flashy things, because I think Troy Franklin's going to do some amazing things during the year. I think Devin Williams is going to do some amazing things during the year. If CJ Verdell's healthy, he'll have flash plays, splash plays that blow you away. Anthony Brown's capable of splash plays that blow you away. But they're young. And so to consistently say, like, oh, for sure, Troy Franklin, first team all conference, I don't think they're there yet. I think that's next year. I think it's a good offense. BB plus, better than average, but not dynamic. I don't think they're going to hang 50 on most people. But the good news is the defense is phenomenal. Noah Sewell is just going to wreck things. Justin Flo picks up running backs in the flat about as well as any linebacker you will see. They've got Kayvon Thibodeau, who should bare minimum be a double-digit sack guy. He might make a run at 15 to 20 sacks. The D-line is good, not great. There's no elite playmaker. Brandon Dorlus really flashes at times. I think he's got potential to be an all-conference guy. Popo Amave is fine. Mace Funa's a good football player. They've just got a lot in that front seven that you have to worry about. There's a lot of bodies in there that you have to worry about. If Kayvon Thibodeau's coming off the edge, you've got Mace Funa, you've got Brandon Dorlus, you've got Justin Flo or Noah Sewell coming up the middle. That's a lot to worry about. And they're going to create a lot of negative plays. They're going to get a bunch of sacks and a bunch of tackles for loss. They're good in the secondary. Mikael Wright, I think, is a future first-round corner. I have some questions at the safety position. Steve Stevens, Jordan Happel. Jordan Happel's a very bright kid. Very, very bright, really likable. But right now he's the backup to Steve Stevens, who has been inconsistent. Safety position's a question, and the second corner. They need a second corner to emerge and be a dude. Dante Manning's a former five-star recruit, all the pedigree in the world. Jamal Hill's really talented. What's his status after, you know, his off-the-field incident this offseason? I think this is a team that probably isn't quite good enough yet this year to beat Ohio State. And I think Oregon probably, because it's just been the case under Mario Cristobal, they lose one game this year they shouldn't. I think they're in that 9-3, 10-2 range, and they will play you a very tough, if they make the Pac-12 title game, they have a good chance to win it. Whatever bowl game they get in, they're going to be very experienced by the end of the year. This Oregon team by the end of the year is going to be much better than the beginning of the year, because they have so many young players. Kayvon Thibodeau, people don't realize this, Kayvon Thibodeau hasn't had a normal offseason program yet. This is the first year he had it. He showed up as a freshman, played, then COVID. This is the first year he's had a normal preseason to get ready. It's unbelievable. So think of the guys even younger than him. They haven't had this before. They haven't had a true 12-game stretch before. They haven't had a preseason to get ready before. I think a lot of the young guys are going to make huge leaps, and by the end of the year, you're going to be going, oh my God, I can't wait for Troy Franklin next year. Oh my God, I can't wait for Brandon Dorlus next year. Oh my God, I can't wait to see what Noah Sewell and Justin Flo are together next year. I think there's going to be a lot of that for next year. I think this is a very good team. I think the Pac-12 is a little down, 9-3, 10-2. That's where I think this team ends up and plays in a good bowl game and has a very good chance to win it. If they make it to the Rose Bowl, they've got a shot to win it. They're going to be very good at the end of the year. And if they can somehow beat Ohio State, they're going to be tough at the end of the year because they'll have that much more experience. For some of those kids, a 12-game season will triple the amount of experience they've had in college football before because last year was a shortened season. I think it's a very good Oregon team. Getting to Oregon State, by the way, for Oregon, the big recruit to watch here, Cyrus Moss, borderline five-star recruit and edge rusher. He's the big name to watch. Five-star Kevin Coleman is great, but they've already got T-Mac. They've already got Steven Johnson. They've already got Nicholas Anderson. They've got good receivers, and they've got 7 to 9 receivers that'll rotate this year. Not super worried about receiver. But man, it sure would be nice to have another edge rusher monster after Kayvon Thibodeau moves down. Moves on to the league. Cyrus Moss is the big, big, big name to watch the rest of the way for the Ducks. I'll get to the Beavers next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on Tending the Vein. Oh, Minnesota's running back. That is ugly.
I think his last name is Ibrahim.
He's good. Muhammad Ibrahim.
Yeah, he had like 180 yards in this game on the ground.
It looks like his Achilles popped.
But he was walking on the sideline. Which seems impossible if your Achilles popped. But yes,
in slow-mo, something clearly seems to pop in his lower leg.
Below his calf to his Achilles area, there is a very large pop. Well, and then he stands up.
That goes all the way up into his calf, yes. Which is usually an Achilles.
But you don't see the roll. Like usually when that happens, you see the Achilles roll up.
I know, it's so gross.
Which is disgusting. And I don't know if that happened because he did get up. He started walking. He couldn't walk. He laid back down. They helped him off the field, and he was walking on the sideline. So if you're walking, I can't imagine your Achilles is severed.
In the time I've been watching...
I said that intentionally because it makes it sound even more uncomfortable.
Right, no, it did. I just was going to move on. It's like the oily hips of injury talk.
Yeah, the severed Achilles.
Has there been a game of any team you followed relatively closely? I think you follow the Beavers. I mean, you talk about them for 1080, so you follow them a little bit. Has there ever been a game that if you went, okay... Let me just watch this first game. And then after that, I feel like I can give you an accurate prediction. But until then, we're really throwing darts here.
You're talking about for this
I'm talking
Oregon
about
State,
Oregon State-Purdue.
Yeah.
If Oregon State beats, and I'm not saying they will. I don't know. If Oregon State beats Purdue by 21, that will dramatically alter the way I think of this season, whereas they could lose to Purdue by 21, and I would think something totally different. And I think both outcomes are possible depending on how good the defense gels and how good Sam Noyer plays. Because yes, he was the second team all Pac-12 quarterback last year. It was a shortened season and the quarterbacks were at an all-time worst in the Pac-12. Tyler Shuck, who was an abomination by the end of the year, got first team all conference by one of the writers on their list. Like not a Phil Steele. It wasn't Phil Steele, but it was like one of those guys who does his own team. And he made Tyler Shuck the first team all Pac-12 quarterback. And he was terrible. He lost his job. He was terrible. That's how bad the Pac-12 quarterbacks were. Sam Noyer had like 6 touchdown passes and 5 picks in the whole year. So if Sam Noyer's pretty good, they'll be okay. This team is interesting. I like their running backs. They've got a solid collection of running backs. PJ Baylor, Deshaun Fenwick, and it sounds like Trey Lowe is a nice change of pace back. The transfer from Washington,
all
former Jesuit.
All three were oars on the depth chart.
And they'll use all of them. Fenwick is probably your more go-to guy. I think Trey Lowe could be your third down guy. He was a slot receiver at Washington, so he's got pretty good hands. Realistically, it comes down to breaking down the schedule. If they beat Purdue, they should beat Hawaii and Idaho. That puts them at 3-0. But then things get really tough. At USC, that's a loss. The Washington Huskies, that's a loss. At Washington State, who knows with Rolovich's team. I don't know if the team's going to like revolt against him or if they'll rally around this and be pretty good. That's a question mark game. Probably they'll be favored. Even on the road, at least it's a coin flip. At Oregon State, they'll play Utah next 2 weeks later. They do get the bye. I think that's a loss. Cal at Cal's a loss. Colorado's a question mark. Stanford's question mark. Arizona State loss. Oregon loss. This is going to be right around a 5-7, 6-6 team. But if they get blown out by Purdue, I get the right to change my prediction to 4-8 or 3-9. And if they thump Purdue, I get to change it to 7-5. I think it could just come down to how week one goes, because there's so many question marks in this team, but I'm really excited to see it. Oregon State's class is ranked right around 54th in the country right now. They've got 12 commitments. It sounds like they're only going to take 15 or 16. They'll add an offensive lineman, add a defensive lineman, or a linebacker and a DB. They're almost done. Jeremiah Irby is committing in the next few days. A lot of people think it's Oregon State. It's not. It's Cal. He's going to Cal. Oregon State going to miss out on him, a good player. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on Tanny the Fan. Man, will we have a lot to discuss next week after the first week of football's in play. Thank you, as always, for listening. Appreciate you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.